reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, a canto 10, chapter 16, text 13 to 15. The reason I asked the verse, it's a little confusing because when I was in Vrindavan, I was teaching it every day. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tana Lakshya Bayodvidna Gopananda Parogama Dinavanena Gakrishnam Tyakta Chariyatum Gatam Tardur Nimittai Nidanam Matta Praptam Atabhida Tatpranastan Manaskaste Dika Shoka Bayatura Abala Vrita Vanita Sarvenga Pashu Vittaya Nijamur Gokula Dina Krishna Darsana Lalasa. Seeing the inauspicious omens, Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men were fearful, for they knew that Krishna had gone to herd the cows that day without his elder brother Balaram. Because they had dedicated their minds to Krishna, accepting him as their very life, they were unaware of his great power and opulence. Thus they concluded that the inauspicious omens indicated he had met with death, and they were overwhelmed with grief, lamentation, and fear. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan, including the children, women, and elderly persons, thought of Krishna as just as a cow thinks of a helpless young calf, but these poor suffering people rushed out of the village intent upon finding him. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Kaksirimalitam Yena Taismai Sri Gurave Namaha Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tidati Svapadam Tikam Vancha Kalpa Tarugyasya Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Vibhyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vedadha Sivasade Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Govardhan. I'm back in Govardhan after a very nice week in Vrindavan. And I'm back in Govardhan to attend some of the retreat with Bhurijan Prabhu and Srila Sachinandana Maharaj. I go every morning from 10 to 2. It's probably one of the highest quality ties that's available for me, and I'm more than happy to sit in the audience and take notes. And also, I know so many of the people there from all over the world, so I'll meet with a lot of those people. When I was in Vrindavan, one of my main services is that people should see the Dham. I mentioned in my last class that seeing the Dham is not something with the eyes. Of course, we experience with so many of the senses, but it's more than just the sensual experience. It's an experience of the heart by the influence of the Dham. We feel the God beyond what we see, smell, and hear. Although the senses are used in that experience, it's beyond that experience. And and I tell you, one of the experiences I had is I met this blind lady and her husband in Croatia. Very, very eccentric and pure people. And they came to the Dhamma. I'm telling you, this is the last class, and most of you also listen on Sunday. And I helped them because coming to the Dhamma, they didn't really know, and you can miss the whole thing. And when I started to just help them and guide them, the depth of their spiritual experience, the husband is not blind, the woman, of what has been davening, and the love and sweetness that can be found there is quite profound. Anyway, in that service I do for people, my determination is, because Vrindavan, the main city of Vrindavan, Panchakrosh, 10 square, Panchakrosh is 5 square miles. Maybe 10 square miles. Anyway, it's being covered by urbanization, and recently they are putting in these sewer lines, and basically they just rip up the roads. I mean, one godbrother came and said it looks like Baghdad during the war. And they leave these gaping holes, and so people could, you know, I guess until they fully repair the roads, well, they do it in different areas at a time, but it's amazing. Just 5 minutes from the temple, it's the gardens of Vrindavan, which most people are not aware of. It's just, you have to turn up a little path. So I took the people from the walk. And the nice thing about the walk is the gardens have also mostly been destroyed. I mean, although you can see many, many trees and they're replanting, a destruction of the garden is not the end of the world because you can replant, but a lot of the rose bushes, practically all the rose bushes, were destroyed. Because they had 7-8 feet of water, which is also nice because I don't think they'll ever construct on that area because, you know, it's still within the floodplains. So you walk through these gardens, and then you get to the other side of the gardens, and then there's a little path that goes towards Ngan Mohan that you can see in a mile or two, probably a mile in the distance. On your left, it's just beautiful green fields, and then a couple of hundred yards of tree line. Past that is the moon, and then on your right side are these beautiful gardens. And you just walk by one after another, and occasionally you just see out of this world peaceful Vijabhasis who work in these fields. And I guess the lady was listening, and she, Jai Radhe, the children smiling, and then the older ladies. I joke, and I don't know how many, because it goes back 40 years. You know, they kind of look like, they dress like Granny of the Beverly Hillbillies, which is one of our favorite shows years and years ago before it became a devotee. And, the gossiping of the people, Raghunath Das Goswami said he'd rather fill his ears with the idle talk of the Vrijabhasis than attain Krishna praying anyplace else. Kind of a glorification of their hearts, actually. And then one man stopped by, and I have a... because so many people are coming, I have an assistant that... trained up one person. It's a lady from Kazakhstan, and she's dynamic. And she takes people out on Prikram and Govardhan Lal. The last time he was here, he went out with us, the guy who else. That was Stacia at that time, so from New Jersey, and fantastic. And now she took around Chris, Kara, and their daughter, Gwen. Now, Chris is also on the Sanghas regularly. And they're just, she's fantastic, and she speaks the language, and she's very good. So she was coming along with me, and we had a few of these people in court, including Suzanne, who's a lady from Croatia, and her husband, and Chris, and it's a small group. Janova also, with her daughter. And we're going along the path, and this person who has, I guess they each have an acre or 2 acres of beautiful garden, comes by, and we stop, and we're chatting through him, to him through this lady. And there's so much bliss in his face. He cannot contain the happiness that's emanating from his face. And then he begins to describe how the floods destroyed his garden. He lost 2 lakh rupees. And has 4 daughters, 1 son. And that it'll take 1 year to restore the gardens to the way they were. And he spent 3 years developing to where they had been. And I was just seeing, and he can't contain his bliss. And I asked him, I said, why are you so happy? And he gave me such an answer. He said, happiness is a heart filled with love. It's perfect Krishna consciousness. And if your heart is filled with love, you are happy despite the external circumstances. And if all the external circumstances are moving towards your desires, but are not filling the heart with love, you're not happy. So I was pretty impressed with the guy. And then we went to the cows and did other things that we do. So now, it is Leela where it tries to describe the hearts filled with love. And how they get filled with love by different bhavas or emotional experiences. And how these exemplify the spiritual world, which is a drama that facilitates the exchange of the energy of the Lord, the essence of that energy, which is the bhakti or bliss potency of devotion, which when flows to the Lord creates pleasure both for the Lord and the devotees. And this drama, this leela, and how it's being described, how Krishna goes, his friends go to the Jamuna, they somehow sip the water, and they die, and then the incredible feeling they have when they're gasping for their last breath of air and their hearts become filled with the warmth of Krishna's love. That is what we are seeking on a material platform and on a spiritual platform. That our hearts are filled with the warmth of love. Of course, there are prerequisites. The heart cannot be filled with the warmth of love unless there is a humble heart. Because if the heart's not humble, you won't feel that love even if someone's attempting to fill your heart with it. So then Krishna jumps in the water, determined, pretty upset that the environment of Vrindavan is being ravaged and destroyed. He jumps into that water, begins to wail his arms, which create a very incredible rhythm, almost like 100 drums at once. Kaliya becomes disturbed because he's Chakshu Shrava. He sees, he hears Shrava through his eyes. Shrava whose eyes are also famous because he is hearing Krishna through his eyes. Vibration. He becomes angry. Krishna, and he attacks Krishna, who is beautiful, glistening like a white cloud, his yellow garments, the shivas, the whirl of his lotus feet. The whirl of his lotus feet. And he is struck. Which is an interesting thing, because Krishna is beautiful, but it appears to be opposite when one has envy. Envy turns good qualities into bad. It doesn't turn the good qualities into bad, but you see them as the opposite. That's the nature of envy. And these qualities are within us. Alex is here. We some of us know him from New York. And we're planning different dramas to do together. We have an idea of a theater, the Monk and the Thespian. And talking about Nisringa Leela, how when he sees Nisringa Leela, the character he feels that people should most identify with is Aranyakashi Bhu, because that's more the consciousness we have than Prahlad Maharaj. So, Kaliya, although he's a demon, he's very much part of us in ways. And that we, although he completely sees the world according to his desires, we see the world according to our desires too much. Too much. But in contrast, the residents of Vrindavan, when they see this incredible, horrid snake slurping through the waters with his head and his nostrils like pots of poison. The cowherd community, Tat Priya Shaka, Tat Priya Shaka, their dear most friend. He is the Atma of their Atma. Krishna is Priya. Why? Because what's the most dear thing? Krishna is also Atma. What is Atma? Atma means most dear. Why? Because what's most dear is our soul. And Krishna is the soul of our soul. But he's the dear most friend. And when they saw that which is most dear enveloped in the snake's coils, motionless as if dead, then they were disturbed. Of course, that's called Sanchari Bhav. That's one of the bhavas, the emotions that come, the emotions that come from that type of the emotions that come from that type of love. The many emotions come from love, increased love. So the Leela is actually filling the heart with love and happiness. And what is the symptom of that love? They offered everything to Krishna, their very selves, their families, their wealth, wives, and all pleasures, everything for Krishna. That's love. Love is when you seek the pleasure of someone else. And a person's pleasure is usually through their desires. So you accept their desires as your own happiness. And then everything that we normally offer to ourselves, like ourselves, our families, our wells, our lives, is offered to God. And that's the most exalted position, that everything is offered to God in devotion. But because they had this feeling of devotion, and because it was so intense, that Krishna was the center of their lives, this is the exact opposite of egotistical consciousness. Krishna is the center of their lives. So this sight, they became deranged by so many lamenting and grief and fear. And they just tell, you know, this is a bewildering condition of love, and they just fall to the ground. Which is another type of bhava. When there's real strong love and there's powerful emotions, then they can cause bodily disturbances beyond our volition. Like you can faint, or your hairs can stand on end. Now the cows, bulls, and female calves in great distress called out piteously to Krishna. Fixing their eyes on him, they stood still in fear, as if ready to cry, but too shocked to shed tears. They couldn't shed tears because the anxiety was a burning sensation that was burning up the water in their bodies. So even though they were crying, the water was not coming out. And because Vrindavan is for the pleasure of Krishna, it responds to Krishna's pleasure and responds also to the apparent displeasure of Krishna, although it's not it actually. So when Krishna was laying there dead, Vrindavan shook, the ground shook, and this meteor fell from the sky. And they had they were shivering as well as quivering of the left eye, and all the creatures of Vrindavan exhibiting this inauspiciousness. Now, in this verse, we get the vision of Nanda Maharaj, who sees these inauspicious omens, and then in great feeling, in great depth of love, says, "Oh my God, my son died." And they thought Krishna went out today without Balaram, and such fear overshook them. Again, as a manifestation of intense love, which is dwelling within the heart. Because they have dedicated again their minds, everything to Krishna. Tat Prana, he's the source of their lives. He's the source of their lives because they have given everything. Tat Prana. And they were Atta-Vidha, not knowing his opulences. Knowing him, but not knowing his opulences. Because knowing his opulences would hide him in the distance of reverence and majesty. Reverence and majesty hides a person. A full person can never manifest themselves in opulence and majesty. Can never fully manifesting faith in that way. So they did not know. And knowing would inhibit their love because they wouldn't be able to have all these ecstatic, transformatory emotions. They wouldn't be fearful. They wouldn't be disturbed. And their love would not rise to the height that it does in Krishna Lila. The Rasika Shekha, the enjoyer of all Rasika, Krishna, enjoying that love, and the devotees are enjoying it in their own way, although they are suffering like hell. The absolute reality is infinite, therefore it's inconceivable. Therefore, it can only be reached by faith. Faith has unlimited expanse. I'm reading a wonderful book, really fantastic. Following the Angels, the Path of Dedication by Swami B.R. Sridhar Maharaj. And he talks about the necessity for faith as the only path to realize the infinite absolute reality, because faith has unlimited expanse. Intelligence can only extend, perception can only extend in a limited way. All the inhabitants of the mountain, including they're overwhelmed, including the children, women, and elderly person, thought of Krishna just as a cow thinks of her helpless young calf. And thus these poor, suffering people rushed out of the village intent upon seeing him. Like a cow thinks of the helpless young calf. Think of a beautiful white calf barely could walk, and then the calf falls in a ditch, and what was the cow feeling for the calf? That's the way the residents of Vrindavan felt. One second, I have to do one thing for a second. Some technical thing. Be right back. Satsaram Viksha Bhagavan Madhavo Bala Bahasya Kinchino Vacha Prabhavo Vyami Jaskisa. The Supreme Lord Balaram, the master of all transcendental knowledge, smiled and said nothing when he saw the residents of Vrindavan in such distress. Since he understood the extraordinary power of his younger brothers. So Balaram is Prabhavaja, knowing the Prabhav, the power. And Vishwanath says, as Balaram smiled, the residents no longer desired to give up their lives. They got some hope. Purport, Sri Balaram is the explanatory expansion of Lord Krishna, is just not different from him. They are, in fact, the same absolute truth manifested in separate form. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Lord Balaram is laughing because he thought, Krishna never cares to play with me in my form of Seshanaga, but now he is playing with this ordinary mundane snake named Kaliya. The question may arise as to why Krishna and Balaram allow their loving devotees to suffer such anguish during Krishna's temporary imprisonment within the coils of Kaliya. It must be remembered that because the inhabitants of Vrindavan were completely liberated souls, they did not experience material emotion. When they saw their beloved Krishna in apparent danger, their love for him intensified to the highest degree, and thus they merged completely into the ecstasy of love for him. The whole situation has to be seen from a spiritual point of view or not be seen at all. The spiritual point of view. Yeah, spiritual point of view is some kind of ontological, metaphysical exchange between God and God's energies that manifests in this way and becomes pervertedly reflected in this world. And that's our reasonable conception of this dynamic lila. Kende shamana dayatam krishnam suchatayapadai padava lakshana jagmu padavya jamunatitam. The residents hurried towards the bank of the Jamuna in search of their dearmost Krishna, following the path marked by his footprints, which bore the unique signs of the personality of Godhead. So now they're searching for him. We'll read the next verse, and it explains a little bit more about those feet. Notice feet. Te-tat-te-tat-jabja yevan kushasani yajo papanani padani vishpate madve javananya padan parantare nirikshamana yaya angashat. The footprints of Lord Krishna, the master of the entire cowherd community, were marked with the lotus flower, barley corn, elephant goat, thunderbolt, and flag. My dear King Pritchett, seeing his footprints on the path among the cow's footprints. The residents in Vrindavan rushed along in great haste. So it indicates that, kind of presents the Brijvasis as discerning yogis, which means yogi in the sense they're seeking out Krishna and rejecting everything which is not. So what is not Krishna? The other footprints are not Krishna's footprints, which don't have these signs, so they're searching for them. And being inspired in their love, being inspired in their remembrance, because it's so beautiful. Imagine even today, if we could actually, in the sands of Radha Lathi near the temple, see the footprints of Krishna. Krishna is Vishpati, the master of the cowherd community, and he's the wealth of all living entities. And therefore, the residents of Vrindavan preserve his footprints as great treasures, the very ornaments of the earth. This is the purport. Thus, no creature within Vrindavan will ever walk on Krishna's footprints. So, not in comment, since Lord Krishna had passed along the path sometime previously, why weren't his footprints, which were surrounded by those of the cows, cowboys, smudged over and brushed away? Why hasn't his footprints been obliterated by those beasts and birds of Vrindavan? The answer is Vishpati. He's the master. He is the wealth. He is the ornament. And that is treasure for them. Because the greatest treasure is love, and those things which are of our beloved, that remind us of our beloved and have some connection with our beloved, may cause happiness and joy within our heart. We'll do one more verse for today. Antarade Dijabhoga Paritamara Krishnam Nariham Upalabhya Jalatayante Gopam Jamuradishanam Paritapashuncha Shankham Dutta Paramakrishnam Aptaraita. As they hurried along the path to the bank of the Jamuna River, they saw from a distance that Krishna was in the lake, motionless within the coils of the black serpent. They further saw that the cowherd boys had fallen unconscious, that the animals were standing on all sides, crying out for Krishna. Seeing all this, the residents of Vrindavan were overwhelmed with anguish and confusion. As they hurried along the path on the bank of the Jamuna, then all of a sudden, in the distance, they come and they see Krishna in the lake, motionless, and then they see the cowherd boys are unconscious and the animals are standing on all sides, unlimited animals on the bank of the shore, just calling out from their hearts in their own language. And what a sight when the residents of Vrindavan see this. The degree that they're overwhelmed with anguish and confusion. And they couldn't understand what was happening. Overwhelmed. Parma Kashmalan. It's the greatest bewilderment, isn't it? Okay, I guess I'll do one more. Now, how did the gopis feel? When the young gopis, whose minds were constantly attached to Krishna, the unlimited Supreme Lord, saw that he was now within the grips of the serpent, they remembered his loving friendship, his smiling glances, and his talk, burning with great sorrow. They saw the entire world as void. So, depression means you see no value in life. Generally, it's related to our personal desires, and all of a sudden, we don't see anything that can satisfy us. And it's not just an intellectual thing, it's an emotional thing. The darkness overcomes us, and everything loses value or meaning. So the gopis, Krishna is everything. Without him, Krishna has no meaning. Without Krishna, nothing has meaning, excuse me. So they feel void, and they're tormented by this. And the more they're remembering Krishna and remembering Krishna's loving feelings and his smiles and talks, the greater their vacancy and heart, and therefore a projected vacancy of value and meaning in the world increases. So this is the lila where everything is intensifying in love and happiness and anxiety, which is increasing that love. Okay, that's probably what I have for today. I guess uncharacteristically is right on time. Anybody like to ask any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Gail, Hare Krishna, Gail.
Yeah, if we have time, I had two questions.
Sure.
One question was when you were talking about the Atma of the Atma, I always get ambiguous for me because the Atma of the body, you know, you find the Atma within the body, that's the soul. But to speak of the Atma of the Atma, you know, referring to Krishna, as if He is like what within the soul.
You mean like the soul is 1/10,000th the size of a hair?
Yeah.
And that Krishna is, you know, I read one place that the super soul, what is it? No, it said there's a jiva in every atom, but that's another thing. It's the soul of the soul in the sense that as the body, as the soul gives the body life, the jiva is its life is being part of Krishna. So it may not be a localized thing, but maybe the analogy is what's dear to you is your very self. And what we are is Krishna. Not the whole thing, but just like the hand is the body, the foot is the body. You know, that's what it is. It's the body. Without the body, it doesn't exist. So we have no existence outside of God. And therefore, there's a natural affinity for Krishna. That's what it means, that there's a natural affinity. And therefore, Krishna is the most worthy object because ultimately he's most dear. Krishna is what's most dear. He's not only real, he's not only eternal, but there's an eternal relationship with Krishna, so Krishna is most dear, just like the soul is most dear. Our life is the most dear, but the body is secondary. And one who has devotion, his approach to Krishna is just like that. This is what Sridharmar just beautifully said. In the higher type of devotion, there's never any desire that Krishna's associates will come serve and supply us or that he will show himself to us. To impose our whim on him is not actual service. Whatever he likes to do, he may do. And whatever may be required of us, we shall consider ourselves fortunate if we are given the chance to supply it. Exhaustively eliminating all our desires, we are to place ourselves fully at the disposal of the Supreme Lord, who is never to carry out any order of wish of ours. By nature, Krishna is eager to supply everything to his devotees, yogic shaman vaham yaham. But the higher devotees do not like him to supply them with anything or for him to render service to them, such as the purity of their devotion. Through their faith, they think, he is my Lord. I don't want to have his devotion merely to satisfy my lower faculty of perceiving that he exists. It is a very low standard of faith to consider that only if we can see him, then we should be satisfied that he exists. We have no capacity to see him. To make him our object, keeping ourselves the subject, is a low standard of faith. But higher intense faith fully proves that he is that wonderful cause of everything. He is present. It's that kind of realization. Any other questions, Gail?
Yeah, one was in the commentary, I think, about how could Krishna stand to see the residents of Vrindavan in such anguish, and how was that explained?
Well, first of all, it lasts 48 minutes. And then Krishna says, I can't take the suffering of my devotees anymore. I'll have to release the cords. Because Krishna surrenders his volition to his Lila Shakti, which he becomes somewhat forgetful of. And he becomes in the spirit of Naralila, that he's just ordinary. For the sake of that, the Lila Shakti creates the circumstances where love can come to the highest.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains this, that he's both Mugdatta and Sarvajna.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarvajna means all knowing. So he's lived up there. He's not realizing it. He's in that lila. And then all of a sudden, he becomes savvy. Oh my God, my devotees are suffering like this. Let me release them. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Would anybody else like to say hello today?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, this is
Brajarade Devdasa. Hare Krishna, Brajarade. I was meditating how nice it is. Really, when I was giving the class, I see you, and I see you and Govardhan Bhakta listening, and I think how nice it is that Krishna and others, especially my disciples, how nice it is that they're hearing and how much benefit there is in hearing Krishna Katha. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say hello? Thank you all. Hare Krishna.